The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com and teenvogue.com and kidspiritonline.com. Our first article today from kidspiritonline.com, Helping People Find Meaning. This article was written by Jack Green. What do you associate with the word help? Many people associate this word solely with doing something nice for others. They're not wrong. However, helping others very often means helping yourself, too. Helping others can lead to, among other things, finding new interests or talents and getting to know yourself better. I once helped somebody else while also receiving help, and this enabled us both to find deeper meaning in the values of education. Every summer for the past 3 years, my brother and I have been going to a sleepaway camp called Camp Wawa Sagawea. It is an outdoorsy camp in Massachusetts, surrounded by lots of wildlife. There are only about 80 campers, so everyone knows each other, and this contributes to a strong sense of community in the camp. This year, camp was even better than before, because we had the largest number of international counselors since 2010. One of these people was my cabin counselor, Diener. Diener was a social entrepreneur, a person who establishes an enterprise with the aim of solving social problems or effecting social change, according to Oxford Languages, from Brazil. He came to the U.S. to visit famous places and tourist attractions and to see what ideas he could take back to his hometown in Brazil. As a camp counselor, Diener was phenomenal. He was extremely kind, personal, and smart. He was always open to teaching me something, such as his past experiences playing soccer with the professional player Neymar. He also told me about his job in Brazil. As a social entrepreneur, Diener is deeply involved in trying to fix social issues. One issue Diener cares about is improving his hometown in any way he can. Along with telling me about his life, he also taught me hands-on things, like how to make a kite, and he was open to learning new things. He has been to many different countries and learned many different languages. I was able to teach him precise elements of the English language, such as different pronouns. In my cabin, there was somebody who was transgender, and Diener, not quite understanding the concept of they-them pronouns, felt comfortable coming to me and asking me about it. Diener was equally eager to help campers and participate in their games. One of these games, Knockout, required shooting a basketball. Although Diener is a very athletic person, his areas of expertise lie in soccer and surfing. Diener, seeing that basketball was a sport I had some experience with, asked me to help him shoot more accurately. I taught him some tips about foot placement and the guide hand, and he improved quickly. I was also able to teach him some more unconventional skills, including how to get a bird out of the cabin. When my family and I went on vacation, a bird repeatedly found its way into our house, so I had some experience with using brooms to shepherd them out. All in all, no matter the subject or its importance, Diener's eagerness to learn made it easy to teach him new skills, and he was as good a teacher as he was a student. As we got to know each other, we became great friends. We found we had many things in common, such as skateboarding and a love of traveling. Diener would occasionally tell me about some of the different countries that he has been to. Along with common interests such as these, Diener and I told each other about the culture in our countries, even small things, including why wearing a Memphis Grizzlies cap with an LA Lakers jersey might seem strange and abnormal to some people. On the last day of camp, when I had to go home, Diener's eyes were watering, and I felt incredibly sad, too. He even gave me a kite he made with a message on it as a parting gift, and we exchanged phone numbers. One important thing that friends do for one another is help each other out. We would always help each other if we could. One way he helped me was to get me ice for my knees because of my Osgood Schlatter disease. We were also able to help each other in deeper ways. Even in our everyday camp routines, we helped each other find meaning in one of the most vital aspects of life, learning. Of course, we understood the benefits of learning to some degree. We both knew that education was extremely important to leading a prosperous life, and without it, one's life can be extremely difficult. Although we understood this, what we didn't understand was just how much one person can teach another. Regardless of age or social status, Diener taught me so much about Brazil and how he grew up. I learned that despite his current success and experiences, Diener had grown up without a lot of money. When he talked about his neighborhood in Brazil, he would talk about how the houses were shared and everyone was pretty poor. Additionally, he wanted to create tourist attractions in his neighborhood to generate some more money for the community. Once, when I asked him about his life in Brazil and what sports he watched, he told me about how his home didn't have a TV and was shared with another family. I was surprised and interested by the differences in our lives. Although I understood that, of course, living in different countries would mean having different lifestyles, I was shocked that what would be considered so strange here might be the norm there. Even in small, cheap apartments in the U.S., people still live by themselves and usually have TVs, so I hadn't given much thought to other lifestyles. This taught me the meaning and importance of asking people questions, no matter their age or social status, even if you believe you already know the answer. I was able to teach Diener this lesson when he asked me about New York City and other famous U.S. cities. He was interested in learning about the best aspects of these cities so he could take them back to his hometown in Brazil. He would ask me about my favorite places, what made these cities tourist attractions, and why certain places were different from others. I believed he realized that despite my younger age, there was meaning in asking me questions, and I could help him achieve his goals, even in little ways. Although I haven't seen Diener since camp, our friendship continues to impact me. I have learned so much from him, from things about his country to the meaning of learning. When someone is trying to teach me something, especially if it isn't the most thought-provoking topic, I might have tuned out in the past. But now, I think of Diener, and I realize that I may find information that is interesting or important, even if the lecture might seem a little boring. I would encourage everyone to look out for others everywhere, because the most meaningful relationships can be found in unexpected places. Everyone has something to teach, and everyone has something that they can learn. Always remember, information can come from even the most unexpected sources, like a camp counselor. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com, Reading as a Form of Mental Health Therapy. And this article was written by Devika Khandelwal. The value of reading as a kind of mental health therapy is significant and ageless in the context of holistic well-being. Engaging with books on a deep level goes beyond simple narrative. It becomes a healing process that feeds both the intellect and the spirit. People go on a life-changing adventure, discovering comfort, comprehension, and reconciliation inside the pages of books. Reading provides a haven, a break from the noise of daily life at its core. Reading books may be a haven where one can find solace and relief, whether one chooses to immerse themselves in fiction or nonfiction. There are times when the written word creates parallel universes that the mind travels to, leaving behind the realities it is familiar with. Reading's many qualities are what give it its therapeutic value. It acts as a self-reflective mirror, a guide providing understanding of difficult emotions and a ray of hope illuminating the way to self-discovery. Interacting with the successes and failures of characters, or exploring subjects that resonate with the reader personally, frequently provokes deep reflection, which builds resilience and empathy. Reading also reveals a range of emotions and experiences, which fosters understanding and empathy. People get a more comprehensive grasp of the human condition by overcoming obstacles faced by characters or losing themselves in a variety of stories. This leads to the development of empathy and compassion for both others and oneself. Healing realm of literature. Literature is a healing medium that goes beyond simple reading. It is a mental and spiritual journey that transforms and heals. People might find a haven from the turbulent waves of life by turning to literature. Literature has a major effect on mental health since it may provide comfort, understanding, and healing. Books are sympathetic travel companions that help readers navigate a range of events and emotional terrain. Literature offers a safe and judgment-free environment for people to explore real-life experiences or dive into fictitious narratives to manage their own emotions. The successes and setbacks of characters frequently reflect the difficulties that readers have faced, encouraging empathy and resiliency. Literature also acts as a mirror, reflecting and confirming individual experiences. It provides viewpoints, direction, and insights that enable people to overcome obstacles and build a feeling of community among the complexity of life. The therapeutic value of literature is in its ability to take readers to faraway places, which promotes emotional recovery, personal development, and a better knowledge of oneself and other people. In the end, it serves as a timeless example of the significant influence that narrative has on mental health. Escape into other worlds, stress reduction through reading. Getting lost in a book is a thoughtful diversion that puts people in a world where tension disappears and creativity takes over. This therapeutic trip is a conscious decision to find comfort and mental renewal, not just a passing diversion. Getting lost in stories, fiction or nonfiction, causes the mind to change focus and become detached from the stresses of everyday life. Stress hormones decrease as readers get engrossed in stories. Instead, they experience calm and relaxation. Instead of being an avoidance strategy, this getaway gives people emotional resilience and coping mechanisms. Through this subheading, the article reveals how reading can be more than just a diversion. It can also be a profoundly stress-relieving medium, providing readers with a peaceful haven and useful tools to help them deal with life's obstacles. Anxiety alleviation and depression combat, reading for mental wellness. Interacting with books becomes an effective means of reducing anxiety and battling depression, providing a special path for mental health. Books serve as a ray of hope, giving those who are struggling with depression or anxiety a way to make sense of their feelings and ideas. Immersion in narratives or educational materials develops empathy and resilience in the face of these mental health challenges by creating a sense of connection and understanding. Research validates the positive effects of reading on mental health, demonstrating its capacity to lower anxiety levels and lessen depressive symptoms. This subsection sheds light on how literature may be used as a therapeutic tool in addition to an escape, encouraging people to make progress toward mental well-being by providing solace, understanding, and a sense of healing. Reading communities and support, the social side of mental health therapy. These communities are more than just places to read alone. They are social networks, a place to share experiences, and a sympathetic environment for people dealing with mental health issues. Participating in reading clubs fosters a feeling of community and friendship while providing a forum for conversations on novels that address a range of psychological and emotional subjects. People share viewpoints, ideas, and personal experiences inspired by literature in various contexts, finding connection and understanding in the process. The therapeutic advantages of literature are enhanced by the social component of reading communities. It promotes candid communication, enabling people to share their ideas and feelings, which helps to provide emotional support and affirmation. Having meaningful book discussions increases empathy, builds relationships, and lessens the sense of loneliness that is sometimes connected to mental health issues. Additionally, these networks provide a wide range of thought exchanges that diversify viewpoints and foster critical thinking. They act as safe havens where people feel free to confront difficult feelings, discover new perspectives of their own challenges, and acquire coping and resilience-building skills. Reading communities and support, the social side of mental health therapy, explains how these group reading activities foster social support, empathy, and personal development in addition to the personal benefits of reading, which in turn greatly enhances mental wellness in a community setting. In conclusion, reading has a significant and wide-ranging therapeutic impact on mental health. Literature is shown to be more than just a pastime. It may be an effective means of promoting resilience, relieving stress, and mending emotional wounds. Books offer a haven where minds may find comfort and renewal, from providing escape to fostering empathy and understanding. Whether a story is true or imaginary, connecting with it offers comfort, understanding, and a feeling of community. People who explore the therapeutic world of literature go on a life-changing voyage of self-exploration, discovering new views and empowerment, and eventually confirming the long-lasting influence of reading on mental health. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. Are the Kardashians Kardashover? Taylor's Revenge. This article was written by Williana Serve on December 13th. July 17, 2016. It was officially 7 years since that hot summer day when Kim Kardashian dropped the biggest bombshell, leaked footage of a phone call between Taylor Swift and Kanye West. It's 7 years later, and Taylor Swift finally revealed her side of the aftermath following the leaked phone call. After this much time has passed, you think this incident would be forgotten by the public and thrown into the long lists of celebrity dramas throughout history. But think again, because Taylor came back and she did not come to play. Origins. Before I dive into what Taylor has later revealed about the phone call incident, it's recap time. I'm sure most of you have forgotten the specific details of how this went down in the first place, especially since, at some point, Kim and Taylor were on good terms with each other. Taylor Swift and Kim Kardashian's relationship has been a roller coaster. Initially, Kardashian expressed admiration for Swift in 2009, even claiming to be her biggest fan. They posed together at events like the MTV EMAs in 2012 and even shared friendly moments like embracing at the Grammys in 2015 after Swift and Kanye West reconciled. However, things took a turn in 2016 when West released Famous with lyrics that included a derogatory reference to Swift. The lyrics stated, "I feel like me and Taylor might still have sex. Why? Because I made that B famous. I made that bee famous. The public was outraged at the poor language used toward Swift. Swift stated that she never approved of the lyrics and even cautioned West against adding the lyrics to the song because of its misogynistic undertones. Kim Kardashian claimed Swift knew of the lyrics, releasing an edited phone call as proof. Swift defended herself, stating the call didn't reveal the full context, leading to public backlash and Swift feeling attacked. The snake emoji made its resurgence in Swift's social media posts as Kim Kardashian shaded Taylor Swift by implying she's a snake based on her previous ex, formerly known as Twitter, post. Wait, it's legit National Snake Day? They have holidays for everybody. I mean, everything these days. Kim Kardashian, at Kim Kardashian, July 17, 2016. This drama escalated with Swift's album, Reputation, featuring snake imagery and references to the feud. The strained relationship saw further references in Swift's Look What You Made Me Do music video, symbolizing a continued rift between them. In January 2019, Kim declared the feud over on Watch What Happens Live, but Swift hinted at lingering issues in March, mentioning that Kim and Kanye never apologized to her for the leaked phone call. Then, another leaked phone call in March 2020 reignited the conflict. Kardashian defended herself, emphasizing that Swift wasn't truthful about the call. Swift responded by redirecting attention to charity during the pandemic. Kardashian later complimented Swift's music in December 2021. Fast forward to October 2023, Kardashian shared a Taylor Swift song on her birthday, sparking speculation given their rocky past. This brings us to this month, where Taylor Swift is pretty upset over what happened previously. I never edited the footage, another lie. I only posted a few clips on Snapchat to make my point, and the full video that recently leaked doesn't change the narrative. Kim Kardashian, at Kim Kardashian, March 24, 2020. You could have also just reached out to her privately and handled the situation publicly in a way that didn't try to ruin someone's career and reputation. Explain the snake tweets, emojis, hashtags, and the way people were chanting, censored, Taylor Swift at your husband's concerts. Lauren's We Look Like Best Friends, at I Knew Some Places, March 24, 2020. The Boiling Pot. In a recent interview with Time magazine, Taylor Swift delved into a chapter of her life that's rarely visited in public conversations, the infamous leaked phone call incident involving Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. As the world celebrates her as Time's 2023 Person of the Year, Swift takes a moment to share her personal journey through what she describes as a career death. In her conversation with Time, Swift reflects on the emotional toll of what she terms a fully manufactured frame job and an illegally recorded phone call. She highlights how Kardashian edited and released the call to portray her as a liar, an act that she says took her down psychologically to a place she'd never been before. The fallout from the leaked call led Swift to make significant life changes. Swift candidly admits, I moved to a foreign country. I didn't leave a rental house for a year. I was afraid to get on phone calls. I pushed away most people in my life because I didn't trust anyone anymore. I went down really, really hard. The glimpse into Swift's vulnerability during that period unveils a side of the megastar that the public rarely sees. Despite the external success, with chart-topping singles like Look What You Made Me Do and impressive album sales for Reputation, Swift felt the impact deeply, describing it as being canceled within an inch of my life and sanity. Taylor Swift on Reputation. It's a goth-punk movement of female rage at being gaslit by an entire social structure. I think a lot of people see it, and they're just like six snakes and strobe lights, via Time. Pop Crave, at Pop Crave, December 6, 2023. As we revisit this tumultuous chapter with Swift, it's a reminder that even amidst immense success, superstars grapple with personal struggles. Swift's openness about her mental and emotional state during this time provides a humanizing perspective on a globally recognized artist. Swift's resilience shines through in the face of adversity, proving that her journey is as much about personal growth as it is about professional success. Is this the end? After the interview went to mainstream media, fans of Taylor Swift and the Kardashians alike came together to share their opinions. There have been mixed responses from everyone, with some claiming that Kim should apologize once and for all, and others saying that Taylor Swift should move on and get over what happened years ago. New Swifties not realizing old Swifties gave Kim a rat emoji instead of snake, since Taylor already owned and embraced the snake emoji. But TBH, it's still pretty valid to be mad at Kim Kardashian. She has never apologized for leaking an edited phone call obtained illegally. Gabriel Davina at Gabriel Davina 2, December 8, 2023. Kim Kardashian has never apologized to Taylor Swift over the leaked phone call. Does she owe Swift an apology? TMZ Live at TMZ Live, December 7, 2023. If you really want an apology, you wouldn't rehash it for the public with a trash comment. She knew what the response would be towards Kim. She got the revenge she was waiting 7 years for. Move on. All that's going so amazingly well for her and still not satisfied. Renee Smith at 01/_Renee, December 8, 2023. Unlike most scandals, this one is a timeless conversation topic resulting from years of tension brewing. It's unclear whether Kim Kardashian will bother to respond or remain silent on the matter, especially since she wanted to be the one to declare the beef between them over and for everyone to move on and forget about the situation. However, I doubt that Taylor will be letting go of this situation anytime soon. But who knows? Maybe this could be a hint towards the release of Reputation, Taylor's version. Only time will tell. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.